Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us to talk about the first couple of weeks, almost in the books, for the Major League Baseball season. He covers all of Major League Baseball for the Wall Street Journal Sports and the co-founder of Newsletter 30, Jared Diamond, joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How you doing, Jared?
Great. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you coming on board. Couple of exciting games here ending in the last few minutes. Marlins walk off on the Mets 4-2 with a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning. And the Nationals, after losing the lead to the Phillies in the top of the ninth, rally in the bottom of the ninth with a three-run shot by Bryce Harper. So two home runs for Harper today, a two-run shot early and a three-run walk-off late. You can't complain about that for an Easter Sunday if you're getting that kind of exciting baseball, right?
It's a great start to the season. And I think any question about whether Bryce Harper is going to bounce back after his strangely disappointing season last year, he's definitely answered that question very resoundingly these first 2 weeks. He's looked great, a lot more like the guy we saw win the MVP award a couple of years ago, which is good to see because last year was just so baffling as to why he just struggled all year long. Not the case right now.
Nationals with the win get to 7-5. The Mets are 7-6. Marlins are 7-5. Pretty close in the NL East. Going to be that way all year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very competitive, especially between the Nationals and the Mets. I'm not sure the Marlins really have the firepower to stick around all year, yet they always seem to be a thorn in the side of the Mets. The Mets always seem to have problems against Miami. You know, I think Washington and New York are going to battle all year long. Those are two really good teams. But the one thing that the Nationals have that the Mets don't have is Bryce Harper and now Daniel Murphy. I just think the Nationals lineup is just a little bit stronger. Even though the Mets have that great rotation, the Nationals have a little more firepower, and already you see the Mets really start to struggle offensively when Yoenis Cespedes isn't hitting. We saw that last year, and I don't think that's going to change, which is why I've always sort of felt the Nationals were the team to beat in the NL East, and nothing I've seen so far has made me change that.
As I mentioned, those two games end late, which means relief pitchers giving up big shots for their respective teams, Addison Reed for the Mets, and the new closer for the Phillies, Joaquin Benoit, who replaced Yenmar Gomez, who had already had a couple of really tough outings for the Phillies. Is being a closer in Major League Baseball now harder or easier than it's been before?
Well, there certainly don't seem to be as many lockdown closers, maybe we've seen in the past. The two names you just mentioned, of course, the Phillies bullpen is just a train wreck. It's been a train wreck for a couple of years, no different now. The Mets, of course, are still without their closer, Yuris Familia, who is still suspended. He's going to be back soon. So I think the Mets bullpen will improve shortly when he gets back. Really, Addison Reed is better off as an eighth inning man. But in general, bullpens all around the league have been a problem all through these first 2 weeks. And, you know, middle relief is a tough spot. You don't want those guys in the game. And not that many teams have that Mariano Rivera lockdown closer. I think the ones that do are the ones that seem to be there in October.
And you mentioned how it's not just closers anymore, but middle relief guys that just Major League Baseball in general has put more of an emphasis on 12-man pitching staffs, guys who can continue to do it day in and day out no matter what the inning is. Are we running the risk of overusing pitchers? I know this offseason people are already talking about the fact that the World Baseball Classic has caused some issues with some pitchers. How about just the fact that guys are expected to pitch like two out of every 3 days? You don't see starting pitchers going to the eighth or ninth inning more. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's very rare, and that's why you've seen more and more good teams try to stack their bullpen, spend money on relief pitchers. You know, the three biggest relief pitcher contracts ever were all signed this winter with Kenley Jansen, Aroldis Chapman, and Mark Melanson. It just shows what teams are valuing. They know that those relief pitchers are going to be very important. We've seen the last years what the Royals had when they had three essential closers in their bullpen, got to two straight World Series. The Indians last year had, you know, two great relievers in the back of their bullpen. Even the Cubs, before the Cubs had Aroldis Chapman in the early part of the year, as good as they were, the Cubs bullpen struggled, and that was their biggest weakness. It's a weakness again today. You know, their bullpen blew a lead that for John Lester through seven fantastic innings. You know, you want to try to have those two or three guys like the Royals, like the Indians. The problem is that there just aren't that many of those guys to go around. It's hard to have a bullpen with more than one or two great guys because there aren't that many great relievers.
Jared Diamond from the Wall Street Journal Sports and co-founder of the newsletter 30 here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Saw a rumor today, Dan Perry from CBSSports.com saying he's hearing Dodgers and Brewers are still talking about a potential Ryan Braun trade. They had some conversations during the offseason. They cooled, kind of like Brian Dozier was all but traded to the Dodgers, except it didn't happen. But they're revisiting Braun to the Dodgers. If Milwaukee goes down that road, are they basically packing it in for the season? How do you continue to sell tickets if you sell trade off of Ryan Braun in April?
Yeah, Milwaukee's in obviously a real rebuild. They've struggled for a few years. They're a very young team now. I think a lot of people have seen the writing on the wall with Ryan Braun at some point being traded. I don't think it's going to happen yet. I'd be shocked if you see a big trade like that in April or May. That would just be very unusual. But as we go along, Milwaukee's probably not going to be much in the race. Can I see them trading Ryan Braun when we get into June or July, close to the trade deadline? Yeah, I mean, definitely, depending on what's offered back, because it's clear the Brewers are kind of trying to blow things up. You know, they've had an interesting start to the season, too. You know, they brought in Eric Kame from Korea, who's hit five home runs in four games in Cincinnati this weekend. So they have a few exciting pieces, but it's clear, I think, at this point, that when they get really good, it'll be when Ryan Braun has already passed his prime or no longer with them. So it makes sense that they're probably going to look to trade them, and it's clear the Dodgers want to upgrade. They seem to be in on everyone on the market.
Understood, and I get very much what Milwaukee's doing. When you got to rebuild, you got to rebuild, but it just doesn't add up that you do something like this in April. Either you're doing it during the offseason, as you have the young guys you can promote all spring and the like, and get your fan base excited about the new Milwaukee Brewers, or you wait to the trade deadline. You don't get off to a 7-6 start and then go, oh, yeah, by the way, we're still rebuilding, so we'll give up our most professional hitter.
Yeah, look, just because they may have had some conversations or someone may have called someone doesn't mean that that trade is going to happen anytime soon. Like I said, you don't see those huge trades in April. This might have been a follow-up on some conversation they had in the offseason. Who knows who really started that call? Maybe the Dodgers were the one that called the Brewers and said, what's up with Ryan Braun? We don't know that the Brewers were necessarily calling up the Dodgers and shopping him. I just think these are early talks, and things will really heat up as we move along. Who knows? Maybe the Brewers will surprise us, and we'll get into June, and they're still over 500. Stranger things have happened. That's why you just don't make a trade like this in April, because you don't know how your season's going to turn out after 2 weeks.
Rob Manfred did say during this offseason that pace of play was an issue for baseball, not necessarily the length of game, but just the pace of the game, which leads to length of game if it's too slow, and that baseball should address it, will address it going forward. I've said all along, it just comes down to giving the umpires, if you need to kick them in the pants a little bit to tell them we really mean this when we say this, giving them the authority to call balls and strikes if guys don't get in the box quickly enough or they don't get on the rubber and throw the ball quickly enough. We know that they have the authority to do it, but nobody is doing it. Without a shot clock in Major League stadiums, the umpires have shied away from it. They'll tell a guy, hey, get in there, but they never take any action on it. Has pace of play picked up here in the first 2 weeks? Is there any evidence that shows that it is or isn't going to be effective this year, or is Major League Baseball going to have to put some action behind their words?
Something's going to have to change. I was very against the pitch clock when this idea first was floated a few years ago, but I've really come around to it just because I have seen it in the minor leagues. It has been effective. The younger minor league players who have now kind of started to grow up with the pitch clock have adjusted to it, and it does kind of get these pitchers that tend to stand around and do nothing to get them moving. But really the biggest problem and why baseball has a real issue on this hand is the game has changed that made the game longer. What you're seeing now are more pitches taken. You're seeing longer counts. Just in general, every at-bat takes longer because on average more pitches are thrown. There's more strikeouts. There's more walks. And that's not going to change anytime soon. If you look back at games in the 70s and the 80s when they were quick, it was routine where guys on the first, second, third pitch would put it in play. That doesn't happen as much anymore. These at-bats are going four, five, six, seven pitches. It's really hard to speed up a game when just literally there are more pitches thrown in a game. And that's the way the game's played now. I don't think any rule changes are necessarily going to help have batters start swinging early in counts again when all the data says that good hitting involves seeing a lot of pitches and waiting for your pitch to hit.
Before the season started, I thought, although I thought the Cubs, the defending champions, were the best team on paper and were the team to beat overall again, I thought the easiest division to handicap was the AL Central rather than the NL Central, because I thought the Indians just kind of lapped over the field. That says a little bit more about the Tigers and the Royals and the like as compared to the Cardinals and the Pirates and the like as much as anything. But I thought the Indians were going to be able to open up this division and cruise all year. They've gotten off to a little bit of a slow start in last place, and they've got both injury issues and underachievement issues. Taylor Nyquin already sent back down to the minors. No word on when Jason Kipnis is going to be back in second base for them. Is Cleveland going to be in for a pennant race all year? Did I blatantly overstate how easily they were going to take the AL Central?
I think everyone would be surprised if the Indians don't recover. I think on paper they look like the best team in the American League. That hasn't changed. It's early enough in the season where it's really hard to glean too much from records. But the one thing we have seen just across the league is it looks like we're in for a bunch of races because everyone seems to be bunched together. I think the parity across the league is as strong as it's really been in a long time. I don't necessarily think that's going to change as we move forward. I do think the Indians are the best team. I do think they're the best team in the AL Central, if not the whole American League. But I don't think we're going to have necessarily enormous gaps in many divisions. They're just too many teams that are close and just not that many teams that are necessarily great or dominant. And I don't know. We'll see if that's a good thing. I think pennant races are exciting. As long as you have some teams that are actually really good and fun to watch, I think with the Cubs and the Dodgers, you still have that. Hopefully we have some good races moving forward. All so far, all these teams are just kind of bunched together.
Zach Britton goes on the 10-day disabled list. Does that give Buck Showalter a pass for not getting him into the playoff game last year? That the injury was going to happen. He knew it was only a matter of the time.
Yeah, maybe Buck knew all along that if he brought him in that game, he would have blown something out. Yeah, who knows? I do like the 10-day disabled list, though. That was kind of a long time coming. There's too many times over the last 2 years where teams were playing shorthanded for 4 or 5 days. They didn't want to put a guy in the 15-day DL. 10-day DL is a little more palatable. And it's also good for those minor league guys who get called up more easily now and get that money and service time. So that's a good change all around, I think.
Yeah, you and I both like the 10-day DL. Great stuff. We appreciate you coming on board. Thanks for coming in some time. Have a great rest of your Easter. We appreciate it, Jared.
Anytime. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.